Amen. God is good. This morning I want to speak to you about something, and I staggered on this sermon a little while ago, so you've got to work with me because I think I spoke to Tawana halfway through the week and I was going in five different directions, so but the Spirit of God will bring it into one this morning. Amen. I spoke about 2 weeks ago about how I really see life unfolding. I spoke about from the story of where Paul and Silas were put in prison out of nothing wrong that they did. And I was teaching the church about there's things that are out of our control that are going to happen in this year and in next year and the next. We're just going to have no control. It's just going to come out of nowhere. Midnight hours are going to happen every 24 hours, but in some of our cases they're going to stay, feel like they're going to linger on. So I spoke to you about the fact that things are going to happen this year that are going to be out of our control. But I began to teach us that what Paul and Silas taught us is what we do with that is in our control. We spoke about the fact that they were in prison. Yes, it was midnight. Yes, they were chained for something they didn't do. But what they chose to do, even at that time, was completely in their control. They chose to sing. They chose to worship. And Lorenzo taught us about what the power of worship does. He spoke about that music is supernatural. It's supernatural. That's why the enemy will do everything in his power to get you to come late to church, because it's established that the worship time of the service happens at the beginning. That's why you will get every red light, all hell will break loose in your house, because he doesn't want you to get worship, because supernatural starts at worship, not just through the teaching. I remember he said those things where when Joshua blew the trumpet, the walls of Jericho came down. Let's be real. It was just a trumpet, but it was a supernatural moment with God. A harp, David played a harp to calm the tormented spirit of Saul, and he completely came with a harp. There was a demonic spirit upon him, a harp. Music is supernatural. And the chains drop off two men of God just because they started to sing. So we talked about the fact that things are going to happen that are out of control, but what happens next is in our control. And the third one I spoke to you about was that he will then take control. He's going to come in and he's going to take control. That's when he comes in with the supernatural. And if you keep reading the scripture, that's when we saw that God that came in and the Spirit of God came in and broke the chains and the foundations of the jail were shattered and everything came down. That's the supernatural hand of God. And I began to just keep pondering that. But I want to speak to you this morning that when God comes, then the supernatural will come in too. Can someone give me an amen? When God shows up, you better be ready because the supernatural is about to come. The word supernatural means this: beyond what is natural, what is unexplainable, and which is abnormal. That's what the Bible defines. That is what the dictionary defines as supernatural. And the beautiful thing is that my God is all about the supernatural. So when I began to read it, I love that the earth defines supernatural is beyond what is natural, it's unexplainable, and it's abnormal. That tells me that my God is beyond my natural realms, that he's unexplainable in my circumstances, and he will be abnormal in everything that seems that should be normal for me. Can someone give me an amen? My God is a supernatural God, and he cannot be explained. Everything is out of this ordinary. This is where we go with when I say that God will show up. So you've got to understand that these things that we're about to touch upon is going to understand that what God does is beyond where you and I are going to go. Revelations 3, chapter 7, verse 8. This is John. John wrote five books of the New Testament. The final book that he wrote was in Revelation. It is purely a vision from God. God comes and intercedes him. I'm not preaching on Revelations, I'm preaching from this scripture because that will go off on a whole different tangent. But this is where he just sees and God just downloads on John exactly how this final chapter is going to end on this earth. He talks about exactly what's going to happen to Satan. He talks exactly what's going to happen to you and I. He talks about exactly what is going to be seen in the last days. And guess what? We are in the last days. So I want to just pull out one part of this revelation. I want to pull out one part of what John says. And this is God downloading this to John as he writes Revelation. He says to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write this. These things says he who is holy. This is not anybody else. These things says he who is holy. He who is true. He who has the key of David, he who opens, no one will shut, and what shuts, no one will open. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and nobody can shut it. For you have little strength because you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. The New Living Translation says, this is a message from the one who is holy and who is true. The one who has the key of David. That's a whole different preaching sermon. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know the things you do. I have opened a door for you that nobody can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and you did not deny me. The NIV Bible says, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, nobody can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. The message says, I see what you've done. Now that you've done it all, I've opened the door before you and nobody can slam it shut. You don't have much strength. And I know that you used to do what you've done to keep my word. You didn't deny me when even the things were rough. I wanted to read it in every translation I could physically find that you may have in this word, in this church this morning. I want to tell you, if God opens the door, nothing can stop it from shutting. Can someone give me a mighty amen? No doctor, no fail, no report, no husband, no wife. Nobody can shut it. What God said, he said to the giant, write it down, boy. Let them know that what I'm going to do, what I open, nobody can shut it. Nobody can shut it. My sermon this morning is what God touches becomes untouchable. In the name of Jesus, what God touches becomes untouchable. He's got his hand on the handle and he's saying, you can't touch this. You can try what you want to try. You can shut it if you want to try to shut it. But what God has got, no man can touch it. Can someone give me an item? Amen. What God touches becomes untouchable. No one is shutting what God is about to hold open. I want you to understand this. If God has spoken it to you, you better be getting ready for it. When does it turn around from being a prophetic word that you wrote in your journal to saying, God, I've ticked the boxes, I'm ready for this to happen? Will 2018 be the time where you will go and get your prophetic words and write them down? Because Habakkuk says, write them down. When are you ready to fulfill those promises, God? When you're ready to start walking through them. We want God to fulfill them. We want God to be prophetic. But are you ready to begin to receive what God? Because he says, when I touch the handle, when I open the door, no one is going to shut it. And I want to ask you this morning, if the door's not open, it's because you and I aren't ready to walk through it just yet. And that is every area of your life. Maybe you're saying, God, why aren't you doing it? Let me tell you, can you watch and just visualize God? He's got his hand on the handle. When the time will come, he will open it and no one is going to shut it. We have had in this church, ICC, spoken so many times that we are to see and experience the supernatural. Last Mother's Day, we had Florence from Hillsong. She came, she said, this is a house that will see the supernatural over. It will become a norm to us. Can someone say a mighty amen? And God began to remind me of things that people have spoken about our house. I want you to know that ICC is going to become an incubator, a breeding place for the supernatural to take place. And guess what? If this is your home, you better be ready because abnormality is going to be part of your walk this year. You better be ready to think that unexplainable is going to be part of your testimony. There's going to be whole chapters and parts you can say, I don't know how to explain it, except I want to tell you about an empty tomb that's around the corner that you need to know about. Because ICC is going to become a breeding place where people will hear that you need to get to that church, not because of who we are, but because the supernatural is evident and valid in this place. Because what God touches becomes untouchable. He has his hand on the handle and nobody can shut it. Don't define yourself by your situation. Don't define yourself by your circumstance. Define yourself by the one who's holding the door open. Define yourself by the one who's got his hand on the handle, ready to open the door. God's preparing you, equipping you, training you for that door to be opened. But he's the only one who's going to open that door. And this is where I became stuck when I began to prepare the sermon. This is where I began to just wrestle with the Spirit of going, God. And this is where just a bit of a download of where God says, I want you to tell the church, this is what I'm doing. I have my hand on the handle and I'm ready to open it over our church, over our families, over our children, over our marriages. He's ready to do it. But before I go there, I just feel that I need to speak about some stuff. Somewhere along the line, we've mixed it up. We decided that we need to be pushing the doors open. We start to think that we've got to make things happen. There is time and places where we've got to start putting things in place. But see, the only thing that God has asked you to do is to prepare for it. See, we're ready. God places a business on our hands, in our heart. There was a prophetic word over that there's going to be entrepreneurs coming out of our house. And when we hear that word, we're like, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. I want to be there. That's me. I want to do it. So we decide, where do we go? How do I have to network? Who's going to help me get my place? And we just want to be networking and pushing doors open to get things through. But you don't even have a business card to offer those people once you meet them. Just saying, church, are you here with me? Right now, your job is to prepare yourself. And when I began to say, God, what do you mean by preparing? There was two things that God showed me. He told me back to the teaching of Paul. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles means the tactics, the deceit of the devils. That's what wiles mean. That you may be able to stand against the deceit that the enemy is going to throw you. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the deceit and the tactics that the enemy is going to throw you. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's why God says, you don't have to worry about the network. I'll do the networking. You do the preparation. We do not need to wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness and the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, of having done all to stand. Last time I heard, when people get dressed up for battle, they are ready for battle. They're ready to charge. Yet Paul says, you need to understand, as a man and a woman of God, you need to get ready for battle, but you're going to get ready for battle to stand. Verse 14 says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having stood, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. Get ready for battle, Morella, but just stand there. But God, I just want to run. I want to do this. I want to go for it. I want to, this is going to be. And he's like, yeah, get ready for battle, but I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Everything inside you wants to run. I want to start. I want to go there. Stand. See, by standing, it defines my position. Our position is always standing. Standing declares where I have ownership. Standing declares where I have ownership. When I worship lead, I'm taking ownership of the platform. Can someone give me an amen? When I preach, I'm standing because I'm taking ownership of what I'm about to speak. I am accountable for the words that come out of my mouth. That is why while you're still asleep on a Sunday morning, I'm wide awake, because I know that what's coming out of my mouth, I'm going to stand and account for what I'm about to say. So I know who I am. I know I don't deserve it, but when I get up here, I know that I'm in authority and I have to stand and take my position. Worship, we stand. Preaching, we stand, because we are taking a position of authority. When you lay it down, it's when we surrender. And there's moments in your life that God is going to say, I want you to lay that down. Bring that down. I love it when a couple of weeks ago when we had the anointing service, there was a part where it was just amazing. I can't even describe it really. But there was a moment when I was on stage, I didn't know what was happening on stage. Everyone was leading. That's all I know. I just stood here while everything else was just going through. And I remember I looked over to Emeka and he was just laying down and I just fell. I wasn't under the tunnel. I didn't fall, but I just fell on my knees. And I went to get myself up and I just felt the heaviness of the Holy Spirit. Just keep me down. And I looked around and everybody was on the floor, just laying. Everyone was just on the floor laying. And he said, this is my church. They know when to surrender when it's time to surrender. See, there's times where you will have to lay it all down. You will lay it all down. You will prostrate before the presence of God. And that's when you say, God, it's no longer me. It's all about you. That's what we did this morning. Jesus, you're at the center of this. That's why we wanted to just lay it all out there. But when we worship in authority. We worship in authority. That's why once we stand, we go and we kneel. There's moments where David just says, just prostrated before his God, before the presence of God. But then there's times when he said, I'm ready for battle. I'm ready for battle. But he didn't fight. Jehoshaphat, I'm ready for battle. But stand there, Jehoshaphat. I'm ready for battle. David, I'm ready for battle. Paul, I'm ready for battle. But stand there. Get dressed up. Put on the armor of God and stand there. Stand there in the presence of God, taking ownership. You know why? Because the battle is won. It's won. The tomb is empty. Victory is there. This is not a battle that's got a waste. We're not waiting to see who wins the final battle. The battle has been won. You and I can stand confidently just going, I know you got this, God. I don't need to know the understanding of it. I just know you got it. You won the battle. It's over and done with. Can someone begin to understand that victory is here? It is your time. You need to put a praise on it this Sunday. You need to put a praise on it this Sunday because victory is around the corner, because God says, my hand is on the handle. I'm going to open it and nothing can shut it. But do you understand? It's victory's yours. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And that supernatural power that raised Christ from the dead, guess where it is? Right here, right now. It resides inside of me. That is where the supernatural lives. So when I go tomorrow morning to face my doctor, what he doesn't know is God is in that room before I'll ever get there. While he's asleep, God is writing my paperwork out because I've already got victory. The paper says what it wants, but my God has spoken over it. And there's an empty tomb to show him that I serve a victorious God. I serve a victorious God. When two teams are playing and the team that has won, they are not demanding for a replay. The team that has won does not demand the replay. Who demands the replay? The ones that lost. And that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to have a replay with you. He wants to replay the match again. Are you sure? That's not true. That's not what God said. Let me tell you, Satan. God says that what he opens, no one will shut. That is the battle that we're in, and he's winning, and he's won. I know I'm on the victory team. The only one who wants to replay is the one who's lost. But Paul says, get ready to stand. Put the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And the last one, he says, is take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation, the helmet that puts, and this was where I began to see where the Spirit of said. Everything covers around it, but the helmet covers our entire head. It's not just a fall, and not just a hat that goes to the forefront. The breastplate covers the front of us. The sword is in front of us. The sword is in front of us. The shield is in front of us. But the helmet is covering our whole head. And Paul said the helmet is of salvation. The helmet of your salvation. Let your head in 2018 be protected by salvation. The thing that covers your entire head has got to be the truth of your salvation. See, my salvation reminds me that by his stripes I'm healed. My salvation reminds me that I'm not worthy, but I have a God who loves me. My salvation reminds me that I had a past, but today I walk a destiny. My salvation reminds me that I'm not perfect, nor am I qualified, but by his grace, I can step out in faith. My salvation reminds me that this is not the end of the story just yet. My salvation reminds me that God is for me, that nobody can be against me. My salvation reminds me that he has his hand on the door. My salvation reminds me that I serve an empty tomb. And Paul said, put that salvation on your head. Put that salvation on your head. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In your 21-day fast, all we asked you to do in that booklet What is the truth about God? What was the truth about God? What was the truth about God? Is God your provider? Is God your healer? Is God your peacekeeper? Is God your restorer? What is the truth? And he says, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal. That's why Paul said, dress up, but you're going to stand. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself from the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Where are your thoughts? Under the helmet of salvation. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ under the helmet of salvation. The things that are coming against you are coming against what you know is true. The enemy is not worried about attacking you necessarily physically. He wants to attack what you know. I remember I shared with you a couple of months ago about when he went to the garden. So from the very first chapter, the book of the Bible, he was there and he was challenging people, Adam and Eve. What did you really hear about God? What did he say? Psalms 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but you anoint my head with oil, and from that my cup overflows. We are wanting our cup to overflow, but God says, I haven't anointed you yet. Come and get an anointing. You will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but you anoint my head with oil. My cup will overflow. See, Jesus never confronted the devil with what he felt. Because if he confronted the devil with what he felt, in the wilderness, he would have said to him, hey, back off. I'm one hungry man. 40 days with no food, no water. He would have gone, don't come near me. I'm not in a good place just yet. But he didn't. He didn't go with what he felt. He spoke right into Satan's eyes. And he spoke, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is for everything the enemy threw. Do you know, for everything that is happening in your life, there is a scripture to back you up. For everything that is happening in your life, there is a scripture to back you up. If you don't have that scripture, get back to the word and get the scripture. Because that is the only thing that'll bring the enemy to his knees. It's the word of God. Because the Bible says that when my words go out, they will not come back empty. But we're so many Christians that we, oh, I love that sermon. It was a great sermon. Where's, find it, go get the scriptures. That's why we put them up there. That's why we put it. Well, you need to go back. You need to get that scripture. For every single thing you're going to, God has a scripture. There is nothing in this world that we are going through that he has not been there. Not been there, been through it. So from the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Satan goes up and he challenges Eve. Did God really say you can't eat every fruit? Like, are you sure? Did you hear right? Were you really sure that that's exactly what happened? He never forced Eve to eat it. He never enticed her saying, listen, if you eat this fruit, it's going to be amazing. He just said, are you sure what God said? Are you sure? Are you really sure what you think you heard? That's why I'm saying, get the scriptures and find out for yourself. All Satan did was questioned what had happened. All he will do is make you question your knowledge, but you have a salvation helmet on. When the Lord called out to Adam after she ate the fruit, the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I've heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And verse 11, God said, who told you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you? See, because God says, you and I had the conversation that I gave you dominion. You and I had a conversation that I said you take dominion over everything. So who did you talk to tell them that who told you? What do you know this morning? What do you know is truth for you? Because the truth is God has his hand on the handle and no one is going to shut it. No one is going to shut it. You know what? That relieves me to realize I don't need to do anything more than what God has asked me to do. But I have to be ready. What do you know? I know that what he opens, no one will close. And what he closes, no one will open. I ask you this morning, 2018, you have to operate at a whole new level. Not about what you feel. This is not about feelings. This is not about anything, but it's about who, what you know. Because if we go to our feelings, most of us will not be here on a Sunday morning. Because the enemy doesn't want you. He wants you to go on your feelings. The Bible says in Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2, He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, but He anoints my head. The supernatural happens because, not because of what you feel, but because of what you know. See, the woman with the issue of blood, she had no money left. There was no more doctors to help. 12 years of constant pain. 12 years of being lonely, 12 years of humiliation, 12 years of rejection, 12 years that she couldn't go out of her house, 12 years she couldn't touch her children, 12 years she couldn't be with her husband. 12 years is a long time. But on that day, as I call the worship team back up, listen to what she said. On Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, after 12 years, when she said, there is nothing left, I've got nothing, no doctors, no nobody can help me, she said this, for she said to herself, if only I touch his garment. She said, I know something about this man from Galilee. I know something about this man. He's healing other people. She could have turned around and gone, but you don't know what I've had to go through, Jesus. You should be coming to look for me. But she said, I know that he's coming past. I'm going to go break every boundary that I'm so not supposed to carry. I'm going to go through everything and contradict everyone that any sort. And I just want to touch his garment. I've spoken over this church many times. I don't care. Some people may need to come to church crawling on the carpet with their fingernails. But the fact that you are in the church and you are here in the presence of God, united with your brother, and tells me you're going to win that battle. Tells me you are going to win no matter what is happening. Because you made a choice. You said no to something else. You said no to sleep. You said no to work. You said no to something. And you said, I've got to be in the house of God. Because he's the one who's got his hand on the handle. Not me. Not me. I'm not going to do it. I've just got to walk this journey through. She said for 12 years. Nobody could help me. But then she said to herself, David said to himself, Saul said to himself, Daniel said to himself. They had to come to a moment where they had to take the strength. And that's when the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, he said, I know that you're weak, but you did not deny me. You did not break down when it came. You held your obedience. And because of that, he has his hand on the handle. We're going to see supernatural stuff happen in 2018. You're going to see it. Let's just stand.